Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to the Sean Atwood channel with me, Ron Swanson, for tonight, an exciting episode of Crime Theory, the Madeleine McCann Theories, with myself and John Wedger. Just waiting on John arriving. Didn't want to keep you delayed because obviously I need to sit and have a little chat with everyone before we get started. Just let the algorithm do its thing. And hope everyone is having a good night and have had a good week so far. Now, true crime content. Okay, we have got a new series starting tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. Myself and Break the Ice with the Moors Murder series. This is going to run for, I think, 3 weeks. I'm excited. I know the Moors Murders case, but having somebody like Luke come on and actually, give his expertise on the case and break it down, I feel like it's going to be another one of those series where I'm fanboying out during the series, if you know what I'm saying. Also, I've realized how I was not lighting myself properly, and I feel like we have fixed the lighting finally. It's not a delay in when I'm talking, is there? You guys getting a delay? Look like a delay? I think it's okay. I think we're all right. I think I'm just freaking out over nothing here. Let me just make sure there's nothing downloading in the background. No, we are good. So yeah, we're diving into another one of the McCann theories this evening. And that theory was something that John had spoken about on another one of the crime theories involving an individual called David Payne. And he's one of the Tapas Seven, shall we say, right? And there was something, and again, just in case this is your first night here, this is what we call a deep dive show. We kind of pick a subject and learn along together and deep dive into it on the show. Now, John is going to be in his car, I think, so he may only have half an hour, 40 minutes. So I'm going to focus on David Payne and the questions. And then towards the end of the show, I'm going to open up Discord. And if anyone on Discord or who would come and join Discord wants to come into VC and have a little chat about your theories, I would love to have you there. So let me know. Give me 1 second, though, because I do feel like I've got something fishy going on here. Hello. Yeah. Okay, that's better. Yeah, well, this is it, Kaza. It's one of those ones where with a case like Madeleine McCann, the company that you have around your children, okay? The company that you allow to check on your children can vary. And that's not from like a predator point of view. It's just a natural hierarchy of trust within friend groups. And that's no, you know, for example, you may have a friend who you've known for years and she gets a new boyfriend. You know, I'm sure she's a good judge of character, but I wouldn't be sending the new boyfriend checking my kids. You see what I'm saying? You get the mindset. Now, there's some things that this David Payne's been involved in that John's going to touch on when he gets here. And then there's some odd things, man. Like, see, when we get deep into like the tinfoil hat side of this whole case, like, I'm not being funny. When you start getting into the tinfoil hat side of it all, it starts to get a bit much to try and make it fit any other way. And there's definitely more to the company that the McCanns kept than the papers, the media want us to know. And some of you already know where I'm going with this, and some of you don't. But why? Let me just test you guys. There was a famous line in Kate McCann's book that referred to an area of Madeleine McCann. And we're just going to talk about that. Okay? Because what this woman said in her book, when we throw our tinfoil hats on and go full conspiracy, it seems to me like there's so much of this that we could apply to public ritual humiliation, ritualistic humiliation, or putting things out in plain sight, right? And putting out in your own book that your daughter's bits, right? Her, you know, lady parts, if you will, are quoted as being perfect in her book. So just anyone who's got kids, right? List on your hand, count them out in your head, how many times in an open or closed discussion you have felt the need to refer to your child's nether realm. How we doing, John?
Good. I'm all right, thank you very much. Lovely evening.
How is what gorgeous bit of grey British highway are you? Well, don't give me too much, but how's the road?
Yeah, I'm just outside the M25 at the moment.
Oh, so, you're lucky. M25, yeah. You're lucky.
Yeah, always. I'm always on it. Always on that, on the M1. Yeah. But it's everyone's back to work now, back to school, back to everything, back to chaos. So it's crazy. But that aside, very much looking forward to discussing this Tapper 7.
Well, here's the thing, John. Because you're limited in time, I'm going to dial you in from the start, right? And I'll be honest, all of this is your fault, John, this evening, because a couple of weeks ago, you spoke about a guy called David Payne, right?
Yeah.
And you spoke about some things that were out there, some things that were theory, some things were allegedly, and we kind of ran through it all. And what I'd like to do is just nicely and, you know, in true Sean Atwood channel style, and in as sort of in-depth as you can, I want you to sort of, in your opinion, tell me, as a former police officer in charge of keeping children safe, was there anything about this man that kind of stuck out to you as odd, shall we say?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing is what they call the Gasper statement. When the police were in their evidence gathering stage, a statement was handed to Leicestershire Police by a lady called Mrs. Gasper. I can't remember the full ins and outs of it, but she expressed major concerns that a little girl had gone missing in the presence of Dr. David Payne. She wasn't happy at all. And there was a situation in which David Payne allegedly is referring, talking to Jerry, and he's sort of gesticulating, he's sort of using his index finger in a very phallic way, in and out of his own mouth, and also circling his own nipple region, and saying to Jerry, does Madeline do this, or does Madeline like this, or something to in that sort of ballpark of words. I can't verbatim tell exactly what it is.
Sure. And where anyway, did you see this, please, John? Where did you see? Just paint
it, it's called, it's part of what's called the Gasper statement.
Okay.
You can open source it and find it. What Leicestershire Police did with it, I do not know. But I know that this woman was very, very alarmed when she sort of heard that there'd been a missing child and possible child issues,
okay,
child protection issues, and this guy David Payne was nearby. I mean, I think now he works in Northamptonshire in Kettering or somewhere as a surgeon still. And I often wonder what it's like. You know, there's incidents occur, you know, at Christmas parties and someone makes an idiot of themselves. And then after the break, you've got to go back and face your colleagues. And it's all, you know, protracted silences and sort of red faces, yeah, and things like that, you know, like awkwardness, you know, until that. And I wonder what it's like, you know, with this guy. Because what if the rumours are true that he is a man of no good, right? There'll be people that work with him that think, yeah, he is a bit creepy. He's always been a little bit creepy. He's always been a bit odd. He's always been a bit this and a bit that, you know? And he knows, if he has done wrong, he knows what he's done. Yet he carries on. Are there any snide comments or any rumours or what? Yeah. What, you know, or is it that the fact that he just doesn't care? A bit like Jerry McCann. They're on a level that they don't have to answer to us plebs. It doesn't matter what we think and what we don't think, if we even think at all. But, you know, when I think they've treated us all with contempt, the lot of us, and especially when you hear the accounts that they gave. I mean, the first thing that gets me, right,
John, well, just before you go into the accounts, I just want to reiterate the fact that this man was making very indecent gestures with his hands and allegedly asked if Madeline, you know, knew what those things were. Now, if
you were, performed these things,
we all know from a consenting adult point of view what those sort of sexualized gestures mean. Yeah. And obviously when we're talking about a father and an individual discussing his daughter, you know, this is, it's not painting a good picture, John, but carry on. No. And take us through the
you know, ruminating and gesticulating and everything else. You know, we're not fools here. In fact, look, when you, especially in the workplace, when you work very closely with someone, you get to know them. And I know that in the police, we had people that would give you the creeps. There were men that would give the girls creeps. And, that, you know, and when, you know, years later, something happens or they're exposed or they're arrested, it's no shock. Yeah. It's no surprise. I mean, if you go back, there was a police officer called Gordon Semple, was found mutilated in a block of flats in southeast London about 5-6 years ago, right? It was a gay sex attack, that whether it went wrong or not, we don't know. But he was basically found decapitated and mutilated. His torso was in pieces, dumped in a bin. Now, I work with this guy. Now, of all the people I work with, if anyone was to say, years later, someone is going to end up in some gay mutilation, you know, in some seedy sex game or whatever it might be, that you'd have said it'd be him.
Okay, and I don't want to denigrate. He's got that vibe.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have to get a serious vibe to be the guy who ends up decapitated. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, there was always rumours about him. There was always, you know, all sorts of things going on about him, you know. It was of no shock. Do you know what I mean? It was of no shock. But that happens. But you know, and I wonder if it's the same with this guy Payne, you know, with David Payne, when he's did he give people the creeps? You know, did people think, yeah, I knew there was something about him or whatever. We don't know. We're only speculating.
Yeah.
You know, but I might not have heard something about this guy.
Before you say anything about that, I just want to make sure everyone understands. All of this is theory, okay? We're just two grown men on the internet discussing the possibilities of the McCann case. All of this is alleged. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty, all of that stuff. And these are not necessarily the views of anyone on the panel, because we can have an open discussion about things, delve into things that aren't necessarily our main thought on the topic, just to sort of expand and broaden our horizon. Now, John, of course, you're going to bring to the table you may or may not have heard of me or may not have. So hit us with it.
Yeah, so this guy is involved in their little swinging circle. Allegedly, you know, that's how he might or might not have really come to know these people. There's something else that I'd like to say, but I haven't got the permission of the source to say it, unfortunately. Yeah. I would need permission,
of course,
because legally it could possibly cause David Payne some issues.
Since you can't say anything, I'm going to give you a scale. A one being absolutely innocent, a 10 being allegedly at a swingers party. Is it over or below that scale? Are we talking beyond that sort of level of information, or are we talking on par?
When you grade information, it is done on a scale, and it's done on a scale firstly of the information, you know, and then it's done of the source of the information. And is that information known to anyone else? Now, if I go on about the source, it's an untested source, okay? I have no reason to doubt the source, but it's an untested source. So I've got to be fair about this, but I've got no reason to doubt it. So
you're doing a better job of clarifying than Channel 4 and the BBC, so, you know, testament.
Yeah, when it comes to information known by others, well, it's been rumoured by others. So it gives it a bit more credibility because it has been rumoured by others. And then what my sources said makes sense to me. It makes perfect sense to me. And it's like, yeah, I get that. I get that. I don't have to agree with it, but I get it. I understand that possibly is the situation. And that would...
Oh, John, we've lost your sound a little bit there, mate.
You're back. Yeah, that's all right. It's just someone called up. But it's a tricky one. But when we look at this group, 9 of them, so it's 7 plus the McCanns. And at that group, I think there were 4 couples, including the McCanns, that had children, young children. Yeah. So they're all pretty much of the same, you know. I have yet to meet anyone. Now, bear in mind, I spent a protracted time on child abuse investigations as a detective probably one of the busiest impoverished areas of the United Kingdom. So we had more than our fair share of crappy families.
Yeah, of course.
Broken families who didn't give us hospital for their kids and didn't know how to look after their kids. So child abandonment, child neglect was commonplace.
Sure.
And some, because they didn't give a toss, others were quite sad. I remember one case of a Jamaican woman who came over here. She was brought over here to sell drugs, right? Anyway, she got away from it because she didn't like it because she was a Christian woman. She had a little daughter. She wanted to earn an honest living, so she turned her back on the yard man and all this roadman nonsense and all that, and lived a Christian life. But she didn't know our system. So she was in one room. She had a little daughter of about 5 years old, and she would go to work for 6-7 hours a day cleaning and leave her daughter indoors, right? And she was petrified each time. And of course, her poor little kid was stuck there. Now, we had to investigate it. She was remorseful. She was deeply sorrowful. She knew she'd done wrong. She admitted what she'd done wrong. And she did everything to keep hold of her daughter. And we did everything to try and support her.
Yeah.
And look at ways that she could get benefits, you know, until her daughter's at school. And then she could go and work and earn money for the country and that. So it was genuine. But she did something wrong. And she knew it. And we knew it. And we come to a resolution, right? But poverty pushed her into that. Ignorance of the system pushed her into that. And there were others that were just bad. They were mad, they were bad, and they were sad, and they didn't care for their kids. Can't help them. Happily prosecute them all day long. Without a doubt, no two ways about it. They get what's coming to them. Where do the McCanns come into this? I was a single parent, right, of 4 kids, and I worked full-time. I'd have never left my children like that.
I went on holiday. My kids came with me. Yeah. I would never have left the younger, maybe when they got a bit older, 10, 11 and things like that. Look, just sit here for half hour, be good, you know, until, you know, I get home and whatnot. Yeah, that's right.
John, do you know what? I know, I understand why you're saying that, but you wouldn't have. You would have booked a villa, all right?
Yeah,
that's what you would have done, mate. You would have booked a villa because there's a bunch of you going. Hotels are a nightmare. You know you want to eat together, party together. You would just book a villa, right? Let's be honest. You're all doctors. It makes no sense.
But let's look at this as well, right? They had money. There were 16 members of staff that were appointed to do daycare and evening childminding, babysitting in effect. And apparently it was something like £10 an hour. These are professional people, both of them on middle class salaries. If they can't afford that, oh, come on, seriously? You know, they knew they were going to a child-friendly country, right? Now, the other thing we've got to really seriously think about, right? A little kid asleep. You, any parent that loves their children, any noise, you're hypervigilant. What was that? Especially the younger ones, they can choke. They can fall out of bed. They can wake up at any time. They're unpredictable. And especially in a hot country, a foreign bed, different smells. You know, you've got a thing called SUDI, sudden unexplained infant death, right? You know, used to be called cot death. It occurs. I've dealt with cases of it, right? It does happen. Like when they're a bit older, you can sort of know they're going to be out of it for a couple of hours. If they wake up, look, come and get daddy and all that. I'll only be over there, and you can, you know, that's right. But when they're that little, and you're talking two infants in there, you don't know how long going to sleep for. So. You can't quantify it, but you can equate for it if you've drugged them, if you know what you've put in their system, and as a professional anaesthetist, which Kate was, you know that that kid is going to be zonked for the next 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
You know it. And you know that if you tuck them in nice and tight and all that, that they ain't going to move from where they are. You know that you've got that peace of mind. Now, here's the other bit of an insult here, right? They can say what they want, but listen, common sense always dictates, and it dictates in law as well. Okay. You know, the simplest explanation is usually the correct one, and the law allows for common sense, and it does. It really does, right? Now, there were 9 of them at this table. Kate had mentioned to the hotel when they moved there, right, that she wanted to book the same table every night because it was nearest to the back door of her apartment and it was in line of sight and all that. So she had that shows a mens rea, an intention, a mental mindset of her intention, that they are going to lock them kids in that room while they go on the lash, right?
John, let me ask you something. In your whole life, and I'm asking the side chat too, in your whole life, when have you ever known or heard of anyone leaving the kids locked up, walking for 10 minutes and having a meal without the kids? How many times have you been to Spain and Portugal and seen kids in strollers at 1 a.m. asleep because the parents are out? They talked about it like it was normal, John. That's really what I'm trying to say.
And a country that positively encourages the family. I get it
in our
pubs, which can get full of idiots.
Yeah.
Get drunk, especially flat roof council estate pubs, where it's coke dealing and people glass each other.
Exactly.
No way should that be a place for kids. But Spain, France, Italy, Portugal, they're kid friendly. They're kid friendly. I've been in there, there, and they've come out and given my kids sweets and a free Coke or whatever it might be.
I've got endless memories of my childhood holidays, John.
Being
a grumpy little nightmare at 1 a.m. because I'm falling asleep and everyone's there. But it was 3 or 4 families, and it was that's what you did.
That's exactly how it was. Now, the other thing is, they made statement to the police judiciaire, right, that they had a system. Now, let's just get common sense around this, right? So there's nine of them. Their apartments are all next to each other. They're sort of staggered. One's on top of one, one's to the left of one, one's to the right of one. But they're in a cluster together, right? They're not all over the complex. They're in a cluster within eyesight of this table. So they want us to accept that each individual couple had a system between the two of them. That one would go and check on their children every 15 minutes. The Paynes would go and check on their two kids every 20 minutes. The other ones would check on theirs every 20 minutes, take it in turns. And the McCanns are doing it on a half hour basis for some reason, right? Yeah. So it would be like bees to a hive, one going zoom, coming back. You imagine a conversation with nine people and you're telling them something, you're talking about politics, you're saying, right, hold that, just going to check my kids. So then they come back, right, where was we? Well, hang on, I've got to go and check on my kids. Okay, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, oh, well, where was you? You carry on. No, I've got to check. It's total nonsense. It's chaos, you know, and it's nonsense. But what it does is they want the chaos brought into the environment, right? So they can say it was chaotic. Therefore, we couldn't keep a track on who was there and who wasn't there. And we didn't know if anyone had interrupted in the bedroom because there was too many people. But how can you might as well not have an evening out if you're going to do that. But my thing, right, listen, you always get in a group lazy sods, kind people, greedy people. So you'll always get someone to say, look, I'm going to the bar. Oh, it's not your round. Don't matter. I'm going to get everyone a drink. And you'll get others that never buy a drink. They're tight. They're greedy. They're horrible.
Yeah. I'm with you.
And then you get the workers. So you're going to get one saying, look, I'm going to check on little Tilly and Jimmy. But while I'm doing it, I'm going to check on Maddie and the twins for you. And I'll go and do yours as well. So sit there, have a cigarette. I'll do the lot this time. And that's what they'll do. But no. And that would have saved 70% of the time they spent zooming about. And some guy's done an equation on it. Right? And then 100 people were polled. What would you do? Would you have left your children? Would you have had the children with you and all that? Only 1% said that they would have left the children like the McCanns, the Paynes, and the other degenerates.
It's because it's unheard of, John. And this is the problem I'm having, because I feel like if it was any other circumstance, if it wasn't a group, if it was just a lone family and this happened, there would be so much further in investigation into the neglect side. And it's funny, everything you just said there about, you know, it's no point in having a night out, the routine of checking, all the rest of it. I have memories of, again, my childhood holidays where we've had villas and it was like three sets of kids and three families and we've all gone on holiday together. And, you know, I've visually seen one parent going to check on the younger kids and all the rest of it. It only really makes sense in a villa setting. All of this, we left the kids in the hotel and left, is madness. It is so far from normal. It is not even funny. And I don't get how they've got a pass on this, John.
Well, I don't think they did. I think the Portuguese police knew that they were lying. The Met police, for some reason, calls it plausible. But then, you know, what faith do we put in them and Operation Grange? It's a cover-up from start to anyone like that guy who fobbed off young Julia should be ashamed of themselves, spending 11 years on a fraudulent waste of public money, you know, defrauding all those people that have paid into that charity, all the Home Office money that could have gone and built a kids' home for that price.
Yeah, 100%. You know,
a refuge or whatever, put research into child abuse or child neglect, whatever it might have done. And those coppers sitting there with what one ounce of I don't know what it might be, social conscience, that they know it's a cover-up. There's going to be clever coppers on that, experienced detectives. They know, and with access to sensitive, undisclosed material. Yeah. And they must know that there's wrong-uns in that group. They must see the intelligence report. Some of it might or might not contain Jerry, and might or might not contain Dr. David Finger in the Mouth Pain, you know?
Yeah.
And I just think they've got no scruples. They've got not one ounce of decency in them. And maybe if you're on it because it suits you,
your home life, I get that. But to spend like that guy who fobbed off Julia 11, 12 years on it, well, he's not a public servant. He's a dosser. He is. He's a sponger and a dosser. And that's what he is, you know, a leech.
What do you think, John, if we apply a bit of a theoretical discussion here? Because yeah. I watch a lot of like cops and, you know, gang, true crime, chess cam madness, right? And there's a lot of the time where when you have a crime happen like this, they will just charge everyone, okay? And in the case of a death or a disappearance of a child, we can't really say death. I suppose if it was a death, they could have done this. But I guess putting pressure on them all to try and push, I get. Do you know what? I've just realized it only really makes sense if there's a body or Madeline's
dying. Look, I gave
sorry, everybody. That made sense to me for a second there.
I gave an analogy to this before when I said that, you know, if there's a murder in a nightclub and there's 100 people in that nightclub, 100 people get arrested.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. Everyone gets nicked. It's like, right, you're all nicked. And then that's your crime scene. And one by one, you let people go. You filter them out. One by one, like, we dealt with you, you're gone. We dealt with you, you're gone. And it's called a process of elimination. And everyone has heard of that term, but that's how it works. Yep. You don't know. The fact of the matter is you don't know what's gone on. And this is the thing.
In that analogy, there's a body. See, this is the thing. The whole concept of there being blood and the sniffer dogs. And listen, everybody, we've got some incredible interviews being lined up for you guys.
Yep.
And, you know, it's really going to educate us all on sniffer dogs, dog handlers, all this kind of stuff. But when you have the forensic remnants of what could be a body, but no physical evidence, it really changes the dynamic of the investigation for the police. But
of course. But
why is the Met Police avoided the Portuguese findings so, like, hardcore, John? Have you got any idea why?
Well, not only that, they've criticised them. They've criticised them, you know, and they're, you know, hopefully we'll have an expert will tell us, you know, the man hours that sniffer dogs did on that case, you know,
and the
efforts that the Portuguese police put in. But, you know, why go looking for something when you know for a fact it's not there, it's not going to be there? Why go looking for suspects in Germany, in Morocco, in New Zealand, when you know it ain't going to be there, when you know who's done it? They didn't have to start sealing off this and doing that because they knew what happened. It's as simple as that. Now, here's the other thing. If you and your missus go out and you come back and your front door's open and the house has been burgled, you start doing the blame game. Well, did you lock the door?
Yeah, okay,
well, yeah. Yeah, I did. Well, did you lock the door? Well, you couldn't have locked it properly. Well, I did. Boom, 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 right? Your daughter goes missing and you're the last person to check on them. You're going to do the blame game. You know, you're going to start blaming. You're going to say, well, where's my daughter? You know, who was last in there? David Payne. You know, you know, well, you'd go and, if he was the last one, you'd go and smash him up or... You know, you'd lose it. But they've not blamed each other. Why have they not blamed each other? Do they know each other that well? You know?
Yeah.
Either do or they don't know each other. I think they know each other too well, to be honest. Well.
Here's something, John, right? And I don't know if I've actually asked you this on a stream, but I often talk about the possibility with the McCanns and the sedating. Okay, let me start that again. I often talk about the alleged theory that the McCanns sedated Madeline, right? And when we talk about potential abuse, okay, and we talk about these parties, in your honest opinion as a former detective, is it out the realms of possibility, right, for people who are on the PDF file spectrum, okay, you're in high places, to write off abuse to their own children if the children are asleep and they can't remember and don't, they would see that as having no effect on the child? Do you think, in your opinion, it's possible?
Well, I think
the mindset of that.
Oh yeah, the mindset is they think they're doing good. Some of them, they think that
the children love it. They're cognitively, they're twisted. It's called cognitive distortion. You know, when you look at, you know, a few weeks ago, when you played that interview of the founder member of Pi, look at the cognitive distortion on that man.
100%.
The justification he was giving you, like, you're the idiot that can't see what he's doing is that he actually loves children, that he's doing a good thing. He's letting them express themselves. He's not pushing boundaries. The kid can say no. You know, they're effed in the head.
Here's the thing. If we're going to go a bit tinfoil hatty for a minute, right? Imagine these individuals have sat, you know, the allegedly, the Tapas 7, all the ones that are dodgy in this, have found out that, you know, you can get perks from certain aspects of life if, you know, you just so happen to offer up, you know, in some aspect, your child. I feel like they have felt like they have found some loophole to getting into the club with no lasting damage on their kid. I think we could be seeing that level of detachment from what they're doing, allegedly.
Look, there's a group being set up by ex-detectives now, right? And they're so appalled and confused that the British government refused to accept ritualistic abuse and also the S element of ritualistic abuse. As a fact, and not just deal with the indictable offence such as the R word or S assault or whatever, that there is a connotation behind it and a purpose behind it, which countries like South Africa, America, many others, and many mainland Europe ones actually do look at it as an aggravating factor, that they've set up a working group now and they're actually being listened to. And I'm going to... One of their first meetings, they've invited me along with members of the National Crime Agency to try and now push to the fact that this is a reality and because we are such a diverse nation, we are getting in the UK young victims from all corners of the world that have been abused in this ritualistic indigenous way because. For whatever reason, and one of them is the fact that their parents, whoever does it to them, wants a better afterlife or wants better rewards in this life.
That's it. That's it.
If we look at London, there's been 5 London bridges, right, spanning the Thames on the same site, right, for nearly 2,000 years. Or, no, 1,000 years, 1,019 years or something, right? Every single one, bar the last one, there has been a body placed in the foundations as a ritual.
Yep.
Doesn't
sound incredible, John.
It's a historical fact that you know, in building them, that's what, you know, and there was a case in Uganda recently where they saved a child who was going to be sacrificed and put in the foundations of a new shopping centre. And it was, an overseas NGO that went over there and put an end to it.
You
can't go doing this. So
It
definitely does go on. But I just think that these people are despicable. And I can't see how anyone wants to still continue funding them or anyone wants to still continue looking for Madeline. It's just, for me, it's incomprehensible. And how... has people like David Payne and Jerry McCann gone on to continue their professional careers? You know,
there's so many double standards. Let's just put it lightly within this. You know, I wouldn't expect, if you decide to go on holiday with 4 of your family mates and you decide to emulate this and this happens to you, don't expect 18 million. That's all we're saying.
You know, I mean, if something happened and you ended up in the news, right? That would probably be the first and last time you'd be in the news. And if they started then probing you and trying to find dirt on you, what would they find? They'd just find hardworking people that speak highly of you. But when we start probing into Jerry McCann, he's linked to the Podesta brothers, he's linked to Sigmund Freud, who's again had been, you know, accused of PDF filing, the Podestas likewise, Then he's a picture of this red shoe club, yeah, which has got connotations of ritualistic sacrifice.
I tell you what, John, can you touch on the red shoe club a little bit for everybody? And then once you've done that, let's just circle back and just go over again any leftover points from the Tapas 7. But take us a little bit into this red shoe club.
Well, from what I know, I've not done research into it myself, but, you know, yeah, I have scantily perused stuff around it. And it looks like some sort of bizarre secret society where the wearing of these red sort of pointy type shoes, slip-on shoes, indicates, you know, the skin of a sacrifice, human sacrifice, whether it's a child or not, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But, you know, anyone who wears that is a member of this bizarre fraternity, you know, whether it's veiled in secrecy or it's not. I mean, the source of my information might be conspiratorial.
I'm sure if we all Googled it, we can find out, you know, that level of information on it. It's something that I see a lot in the side chat since we've started
you wouldn't find anything like that, you know, and it's I can always remember when I started doing work with survivors of abuse that had been inside for crimes of violence. And one guy who had a history of violence and was classed as a very volatile individual. And he said, you know, the one thing you can't do to a survivor like us, John, is lie. He said, because we've been lied to all our life. We have a sixth sense. And he said, if I sense someone's lying to me, I just break their jaw. You know, and he said, I've never had any reason to even fall out with you, you know. And it was funny, when I was doing my profiling training, they said the same about psychopaths. Don't lie to them. Don't lie to them, you know, because they'll know you're lying. And it'll cause, it'll just kick off. So, it's very, you know, very, very similar on that front. But, you know, how have they continued, you know, to have a professional life? I mean, who would, if you was under surgery or whatever, or you were going to be anaesthetised, and it was David Payne, or your child was going into hospital, and it was Dr. David Payne, I would have cause for concern. I can always remember when my first child was going to be born. That my ex-missus back then was going to be examined, and he was, my first child was born in quite a really rough East End hospital, right? Quite a famous East End hospital, because we lived in the East End of London at the time.
Yeah.
And but a week before the hospital, there'd been a massive scandal over it, because they had a paediatrician who'd come from an AIDS ravished West African country. He was himself full blown AIDS, and he was examining women downstairs in the labour ward, the maternity ward, totally unprotected. And they had to then recall all these women and sort of say to them, you might have been infected with AIDS because of this guy. And he'd lied about the fact that he hadn't got AIDS. He lied this and that. And I don't know how it come about, but it was a massive health scare, right? And they lied about it to start with and covered it up. And anyway, it was only a week before, and a West African doctor comes in, wants to examine my missus. And I said, no, you ain't. And he went, oh, you know, he got very offended. I said, it's not a race thing, my brother. I said, listen, only a week ago, you know, this is what happened. And I said, I'm not risking my unborn child to, you know, it ain't happening unless you, and he said, no, it never happened here. And then he actually come back and went, yeah, it was here. It was actually my colleague. It wasn't me. I apologize. And after that,
it's just madness, mate.
But after that, I said, okay, I'll give you consent. But you yourself just lied. He went, look, we've been told not to say anything. So, you know, they professionally will lie to you.
Just like that, John.
Just like that, they'll do it. You know, and, you know, it's just,
unbelievable. But the whole Tapper 7 thing, you know, none of them blame each other, which is I find very bizarre. Very bizarre, because if I'd have lost a child to what they claim is a kidnapping by a stranger, and we went through the quirk of fates and the anomalies and the outside chances of this happening on a previous show, I would be blaming one of the group. I would be.
Well, this is it, and you have to think. Somebody said something earlier, right? It's more like that they hated children if they're PDF files. So that's one way of looking at it, right? But imagine you've got maybe two or three of them, right, that are all in this CD club together, and they've managed to persuade their wives, you know, who would never have, you know, been part of anything like this other than their love for their husband, all the rest of it. All of this is not out the width, the scope of believability of this. You know, when we want to talk about the real severe possibilities of what happened to Madeline, I personally get geared towards them writing off what they're doing as abuse when they're sedating their kids, taking them to these, you know, adult parties when they're asleep. I really, and again, that's only because of my extensive research into the minds of these monsters. And, you know, when we look at Pi genuinely believe that kids love this and consent, and it's a great time for everyone. That's their mindset, okay? Yeah. So if you imagine, just as warped as that is, turning around, Jerry allegedly turning around to Kate, convincing her, well, listen, they're never going to remember it. It's going to be okay. We'll get our foot in this special club, you know, blah, blah, blah. I honestly think that if we're going to talk about any sort of ritualistic theories, that is the most likely, allegedly.
But the two of them, they don't blame each other at all. That, you know, that there is not one bit of,
why
the blame game, and they're still together, but it comes back to what was said to me, you know, the day after it happened, and a woman said to me, a colleague said to me, look, the mum's done it. And I went, how do you know? He went, look, she's wearing earrings. And I had to sit there and think about it, and I went, and you know, like I said to you on the previous one, we dealt with a case, we dealt with a case before of a woman who had lost her child, and we had to go and arrest her, and she was beyond distraught. It was probably one of the worst arrests I ever had made. It was the saddest day of my policing career, arresting a woman for the murder, infanticide of her own child. Yeah. And, because that's what we had to do. That was part of the process. And the distraught in her face, and she was... This woman was shattered. Her life had shattered, right?
Yeah.
That was a difference. And when you see them, they went for a run. She's put on makeup and put on earrings. Now, come on, you know?
Well, that's odd enough, John. But why would you then write a book and comment on the genitals of one of your child?
I know. When I heard that, someone read it out. I can't remember. I think it might have been Sonia Porton read it out.
Yeah.
And because I know she's had a long-term interest in this. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a joke. I thought, oh, no. I thought, Sonia, you're going to get in trouble for saying that. You made this up. But it was genuine. It was genuine that she had put about her perfectly formed genitals. And I felt sick.
Do you wanna go a bit tinfoil hat-y for a second, John?
Yeah, go on.
You ever heard of these like shaming rituals that are meant to take place where they have to do something outrageous in public?
Wasn't it? They reckon Bill Clinton's.
His painting. Do you know what I mean? I mean, oh, also, could you know, with the dress chick? Well, yeah, I think that's where you were going. Monica Lewinsky.
I heard he was a member of that Skull and Bones, and part of it. Is they have to lay in a coffin. They have to embait themselves whilst recounting all their previous.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. In the grand scheme of things, lying in a coffin to do a college-based ritual is far from talking about genitals in a book you've written. You see what I'm saying? So it reeks of that to me. It reeks of that.
Well, of course it does. And why would anyone, you know, on the backdrop of their child being abducted and potentially murdered, ever mention the children's genitals? The two would never go together. Make any sense. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I'm, it's totally and utterly baffling to me. I don't get the correlation.
The way that they've done their holiday, baffling. They talk about it like it's normal. Putting that in your book, baffling, and they act like it's normal. The way that Jerry reacted to being asked, did you kill Madeline? You know, no. It was just a fumbling mess. You know, really was. And I just want to say, again, please like and share. Make sure you're slapping that like button. Make sure you're sharing. This is Crime Theory with me and John. We're doing McCann Theories every Tuesday night with you lovely, lovely people. Deep diving into a theory and just sort of having an open discussion about it.
I'm going to have to, as mentioned, sort of scoot a bit early now. But, I apologise for my early departure on this one. But
yeah, you're good, mate. You're good. We're good.
I think I've sort of crammed in as much as I can. And I just... What can you say from someone who's a kind, loving parent? I don't get it. It would never have happened. I would never have left the kids. And I think 99% of humanity would agree with ourselves on that one.
Oh, 100%. And the 1% we don't have to worry about because they clearly ain't worth the thought. You know what I'm saying? But John, as always, thank you. Everyone loves you here, John. You're the backbone of all this, and I really appreciate you, mate.
Stay safe, and I'll see you Thursday, yeah?
See you Thursday, mate. All right, everybody. So we're going to continue on this evening after this show tonight. We've got an incredible interview with a lady named Gemma who went to prison after defending herself from her abuser, and it's even just editing the parts that I did for it to be put on the channel, it was a lot. There was a lot to deal with. And this woman portrays her emotion like I've never seen. So let me know in the side chat what you guys think about what we've talked about tonight, because obviously we can't just come on here and start saying too much in the alleged fashion when it comes to the people that were involved in the Tapas 7. But I just wanted to reiterate the oddball behavior of David Payne in this scenario, allegedly the oddball behavior, I should say, allegedly. And we always listen to your guys' feedback. This Thursday, we've got our second part of the Lucy Letby, not series, but certainly the next part. And it's interesting for me because she's such a dark figure, but there's a lot of people now rallying to her defense saying that the evidence needs to be relooked at. And I think that's one thing that I'm interested in hearing an update on. So stay tuned for that. What else have we got on the side show here? Hit me with some questions. Watch me, Rick. Yeah, you see, I think what we'll do is maybe we'll do... next Tuesday, we'll look at the Red Shoe Society. We'll look at all the major tinfoil hat wild theories next week, because we've kept it fairly plausible, obviously, with every episode. But I think it's time we sort of expand past that a little bit and kind of push our comfort zone with what we think, because I think for a lot of people, the Podestas in the first episode was completely far-fetched. And Junice, that is going to be coming on my channel. We can't put that on this channel, sadly, but John and I have got something in the works for that. And these nights where we touch on Madeline's case each week, it really gets my thought process going into overdrive, because I like to make things fit. You know, if you give me a theory where all of a sudden 10 other theories can't take place, I've got to make that square peg fit in the round hole. And that's why I love these deep dive shows. John has brought up things over the last few weeks with regards to ritualistic his ritualistic knowledge. Let's just put it, you all know what I'm talking about. And this 13-year cycle and his interviews with survivors on that topic bring this horrible undertone when it comes to what are the real dark, plausible, dark realities of Madeleine McCann. And we looked at a theory that was called the Lazarus phenomenon, where people are declared dead and then they wake up only to be found, you know, that they're at their funeral or whatever. And this is how I can make Julia fit into almost any McCann theory, where she was trafficked at the end. You know, that is the narrative, where she's trafficked. She's not then subsequently been thrown alive in the water to drown, effectively. Because I think that can account for a lot of theories. And it fascinates me when little threads like that start coming together. But I think we all know what the bigger picture here could possibly be with regards to parents who want to, you know, allegedly anesthetize children, the possible abuse, these adult parties, all the rest, and the dumbed down attitude. People say to me, Kate looks guilty. Kate looks to me like a woman who got into something and didn't realize the depth and magnitude of the situation as the years went on. Do I think that has anything to do with every single person in that group? Maybe not. But certainly you have to ask, if true, allegedly, if true, all of this is just one guy on the internet pulling stuff out his backside. Major disclaimer here, this is just the guy talking. I don't think it's too far out the question to say that if this allegedly happened and this abuse took place, that certain amounts of it could be seen as almost dipping your toe into a world that few know about with regards to ritualistic abuse. And this whole keeping them asleep, you know, writing it off. I don't think Kate realized, allegedly in this scenario, that the club she was signing on to would have such a lifelong effect on her. I think she could have possibly been bamboozled by the narratives and the plus sides, if you can possibly imagine any plus side would be about giving your child up like that. My mind just goes and it just runs wild, because not every monster is a horrific super monster. Some monsters are molded and formed by another monster to facilitate one monster's need. And I think what we're seeing here is a monster that's been molded and she's starting to become tired almost of this commitment, if that makes sense. Right. At the very least, you would have expected something like that. I completely agree. Also, just to remind everyone as well, you true crime lovers of the true crime, tomorrow night we start a new series, 6:30, with Break the Ice, Luke, all about the Moors murders. And in half an hour, we have an incredible... In fact, you know what? Let's just for a moment, just take in a little something. Everyone just relax. Okay, we're dead. Ron's not rambling because John had to go early and now he's trying to fill time between the next show for a start. That's definitely not what's happening here. But it's not very often when I'm editing do I get punched in the emotions and the way this woman portrays her story. So we're just going to sit here together. If anyone needs to make a cup of tea or anything, now's a pretty good time. No trailers. Away with you. This is a trailer for what is coming up after my stupid face has left your screen. Oh, come on. Oh, my God. Oh, God. Hang on a second. Starting right now. Thank you. Go over if you're watching. I'll see you in the next one. Come on, join me this one.
Easy. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.